a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G. Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's first and 10. Pierce getting a block outside from Schultz, finding room. There he goes. It's a foot race with Tavai and Gonzalez, who pushes him out before he hits the pylon. No, they give it to him. It's a touchdown. A 54-yard touchdown run. Damian Pierce.
Kevin Harlan's voice is a deep steel blue pill for me. All right, guys. Happy Monday. It's October 14th, 2024. And in a weekend where Oklahoma's offense looked like it was from the Stone Age, Teddy Roosevelt would have been trying to implement laws to make that thing look a little bit better. Maybe try a forward pass. In a weekend where the Dallas Cowboys lost 47-9 to the Detroit Lions, their worst loss in Big D in my life. There's only one person, one group that should be embarrassed on this Sunday, or excuse me, this Monday. You know who it is? The Houston Texans. They should be embarrassed that they were only able to win on Sunday by 20 points. I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of this 5-1 team that just won in Foxborough for the first time ever. I am ashamed that I am in a city where a team that has more wins than all but two other teams, I'm just ashamed, Joe. This is an embarrassment. You only won by 20? C.J. Stroud didn't even throw for 200 yards? Drake Maye, a rookie quarterback in his first start, threw three touchdown passes against you? Oh, yeah, 209 rushing yards. Two of them are on 250-yard carries. That doesn't matter. That doesn't count. I am embarrassed, and so should you be. This was the worst 20-point loss I've ever seen. Happy Monday.
Worst 20-point win you've ever seen.
My bad. It was a loss. Because it was a loss, Joe.
They only had four turnovers?
They lost the game. Four takeaways, not enough. Will Anderson, three sacks, not enough. They lost yesterday, mm-hmm. Joe. I know it says they're 5-1.
L.
They lost.
Give it to him, Paul.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And again, I watched Oklahoma play on Saturday.
That was pretty bad.
And I watched the Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
That was worse.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And honestly, I think we should all drive down to Kirby and put our battle red or deep steel blue or H-Town blue jerseys in a pile and just light them all on fire.
What about the Liberty white jerseys?
Oh, put them in there too.
Okay, good. I was making sure we weren't just, leaving one of them out.
You'll see the smoke from outer space, and it won't even be coming from Deer Park this time. This team is an embarrassment.
Oh, they could have scored 60 points, Paul.
I know. They 70. Didn't. They didn't.
I mean, we had people saying last week on the text line that they were going to win 69-0. They didn't do that.
They benched C.J. Stroud in this game for Davis Mills. And you know what? They should have done it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
they should have done it earlier.
I think that might have been where you took it a little too far.
All right. I can't do this with a straight face any longer. Look, that was a nice win yesterday.
Hell yeah, it was.
There was a lot left on the table. There's still a lot of things to clean up. But the Texans are 5-1, and I'm happy about it. I think you should be happy about it, too. Even if there were some things that need to be cleaned up before a very difficult game coming up this Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be perfect every single time. We saw the offense stall out, but they tied a franchise record for most points ever on the road. 41 points. They won in a stadium in which they've never won before. Now, look, it's only seven games, and there's no Tom Brady in this game, of course. But this was a good win. They scored 41 points in an NFL game. I mean, yeah, the Lions win outdid you a little bit because we think the Cowboys think might be the key word here. We think the Cowboys are better than the Patriots. I'm not totally sure about that, to be honest with you.
They are.
The Texans weren't throwing out offensive linemen to run pass plays like the Lions were doing. They weren't that disrespectful this weekend. There is a lot of things in this game that you can pick at. And it's not even nitpicking. There is tangible things that you can say the Houston Texans need to improve on in this game. But they won 41-21. They won by 20 points in the NFL. It was a great Sunday.
Finally got a blowout win. You can check that off on things that you wanted to see from this team this year. And yes, a lot of season left. They have a lot of tough games left. They will play Detroit this year. They will play the Ravens, who won a fourth straight game. They will play the Chiefs, who still haven't lost, and have this weekend off. But it's another step in the right direction, and a game where it really never felt in doubt, even at right before halftime when Drake May hit Kayshon Boutte, who burned Derek Stingley, down the right sideline for that touchdown. I was annoyed, and I would have totally understood any complaints after a win by less than 10. I'll still hear some of those complaints today, but ultimately they put the pedal to the metal. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've never been sure on that one. I've never seen the spelling of it, and I just kind of roll with it.
What else would it be?
The pedal to the metal, or the petal to the metal.
I'm not sure anymore now.
What? You don't know what
you just broke my brain.
Well, listen,
a little bit.
I mean, here's the thing. This whole segment, it's about breaking brains. Okay, I want to confuse as many people as possible.
Annoyed is the right word, because we were watching Sean and I and Brian inside ESPN Bet, and we all, I think, all had the Texans minus 6.5, or at least two of us did. And I know you had minus 6.5 for the Texans in the pick six. And I was like, they're not going to cover this game. Just while I was like, they're going to win this game, but they're not going to win by touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then they smashed him in the second half. What was your favorite part of the game?
My favorite part of the game, it's interesting, because watching this game, I have mixed feelings like you did earlier this year. I grew up rooting for the Patriots, but they're wearing these foreign uniforms that I've never seen them wear. Tom Brady's not there. Bill Belichick's not there. Gerard Mayo's there, and he's wearing a hoodie. And my God, I can't believe that guy's two years younger than D'Amico Ryans.
He looks old, right?
He looks fat.
Well, definitely that.
They were both wearing hoodies. I don't know why, because it didn't seem like it was cold or even brisk out there in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And Gerard Mayo looked as schleppy can be.
I think they were just paying tribute to Bill Belichick wearing hoodies.
I guess, but I mean, Gerard Mayo seems to be paying tribute to his diet as well. I mean, I can't believe Mayo used to play in the NFL. Based off of what I saw, Mayo did not look like an ex-NFL player unless he used to be an offensive lineman or something like that.
And D'Amico looks like he could still put on the pads and
hit somebody. Listen, as someone who is totally fine complimenting another man's appearance, like, D'Amico Ryans is objectively hot. He's a good-looking guy. He is.
Fair.
And, I mean, Gerard Mayo, not looking so good. But that team, foreign to me. I was a little happy to see Drake May out there, but for me, really, it was about how, one, dominant Will Anderson was, and two, that while this running game I still have questions about, because I don't know that Bobby Sloak's ever going to be able to get it to look the way that it looks with Kyle Shanahan, when they have guys who have talent out there, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, who I have been beating the drum for a while, he has a lot of talent. When those guys can give you a couple of explosive plays, maybe that's all you need out of this running game.
I mean, what Joe Mixon just looked... I know he said he was just kind of, you know, waiting to get out there to get fully healthy. He looked so good. And with the exception of that, the goal line play, where like he like ended up like this, horizontal.
And didn't, explain the hand motion you're making.
He was horizontal, and he went straight into the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, when he dove.
He went backwards.
He got completely stuffed.
Yeah. Besides that play, Joe Mixon was very good in this game. So that was – it is amazing how much easier – you know, it has looked for the Texans in the two games in which he's been highly effective. The Colts game and this one. It's just, you don't need C.J. Stroud to throw for 300 yards because you have your running backs moving the ball down the field in chunks at a time, just making it so much easier for this team. Joe Mixon was very impressive. It was a nice run from Damian Pierce. And it felt like he also was close to that earlier in the game. It didn't feel like Pierce was, like, it felt like that breakout was coming, that he was going to get a long chunk run at some point in this game. So if they can do that, they can help make life without Nico Collins so much easier. So much easier.
This is a pretty good Patriots defense. I would say it's better in the secondary than it is against the run. So I'm taking a little bit of what I saw yesterday with a grain of salt. But I thought Mixon looked very explosive. And I thought the same thing about Pierce. And if all of these runs that get you absolutely nothing can give you this occasionally, I suppose this is a sustainable running game. It's definitely not what you would like, but it's definitely better as well than what we've seen with both Cam Akers and Dario Gumbawale over the last couple of weeks. So those are the two things that I did like to see. Anderson, he had three sacks. He deflects a pass that gets David Tyreed off of some Patriot player's head.
Mm-hmm.
Always happens against the Patriots. I had a flashback to Super Bowl 42 when I saw that. He was so good in this game, and with Aiden Hutchinson injured, defensive player of the year conversation, it's open. I don't know how serious it is about him right now because he didn't do as much production-wise for the first couple of games, but that's probably the best game we've seen from Anderson thus far. That's why you traded up to go get him after you drafted C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, three sacks, four tackles for a loss, a pass deflection. He was all over the place. We had Danielle Hunter finally make a huge impact as well. I mean, I thought he might have ended Drake May's season before it got going when he forced that fumble. The defensive line is just, every week, it's someone a little bit different. Like that's what, you know, this offseason, when they brought in all of these guys on the defensive line, this is kind of what you would envision it to be, is every week it's someone else getting to the quarterback. This week, Will Anderson, three sacks. Next week, DeNico Autry returns from suspension. So you're adding to that room. They're game wreckers, and they can get after the quarterback the way that, and it's not just because, that's why this is one of those moments where you say it's not because because you played the Patriots. You saw what they did the week before against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, the way that DeMeco Ryans is schematically doing things on defense, whether it's blitzing, putting more guys into coverage, and just changing it up constantly. Will Anderson led the way, but he's very fun to watch. I couldn't take my eyes off him.
You couldn't take your eyes off him?
I was in love.
You were in love?
I'm in love with Will Anderson.
So you're just focusing the whole play on Will Anderson?
I need the all-22 angle so I can see Will Anderson lighting up a defensive end.
Well, to be fair, Drake May didn't often throw the ball more than like 5 yards down the field.
Well, the touchdown pass he had and the other touchdown pass that he had.
If I was a Patriots fan, I would be very happy today, even in a loss. I would say first impression from Drake May is a very positive sign.
First couple of passes looked rough, but yep. As the game wore on, he certainly looked a lot better. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston, on Twitch, at ESPN 975. We got a Sean Mapes here, too, coming up next. I have a challenge for you, because at the beginning of this segment, I was having fun. I hope you realize that. I know that sometimes my sarcasm is difficult to get through, to decipher, but I want to hear your most Skip Bayless-y anti-Texans take. I'm challenging you here. They are 5-1, and they just beat a team that was their big brother for the first time ever in Foxborough. So there are things to be happy about today. But I want your biggest anti-Houston Texans zag all show long. The more Speak for Your Pizza-esque TV show it sounds like, the better. Calls, encouraged. Texts would work too. Tweets, etc. Gallant and George, stay put.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
They get around him, grabbed by Anderson. Will Anderson with the sack, third of the year. May devoured, brought down. Another sack for Will Anderson, two in the first half. Gibson remains in the backfield after having that last carry. Oh, from behind they get him. It's another sack. It's the third today for Anderson.
Oh, Will Anderson had three sacks? Well, what Patriots offensive lineman is an all-pro, writes Poor Marine. Another comment from Poor Marine. Patriots offensive line, 30th in the league. Only the Cardinals and Giants are worse. Captain Fish says the Lions have two offensive linemen that would be tight end number one and tight end number two on the Texans. I mean, I'm challenging people to give me your biggest zag against the Texans 5-1 start. The best since 2012. I'm challenging you guys. I want to see if you can actually put something together that would make the fine folks at Speak for Your Pizza on Fox and ESPN proud.
Is it my turn?
Go ahead. Hit me.
There's a clear problem with the Houston Texans offense.
Who?
This year, the Texans have not scored over 30 points in a game until this week. Nico Collins is holding this offense back, Paul. Tank Dell is WR1. Stephon Diggs, WR1AB, whatever you want to call him. There Nico Collins holding the Texans offense back.
Ewing Derry.
Nico Collins, they haven't scored 41 points with Nico Collins out there.
They scored 17 points off of takeaways with Nico Collins not playing in the game. Was Nico Collins distracting the Texans offense from the critical preparation that it needed to do before getting back on the field after the Texans take the football away? Also, they haven't taken the football away in a couple of weeks, so I mean that was a big change that we saw happen on Sunday. Okay, I like the Zach. I respect it. I want someone to call in and really go Bayless here. I really want somebody to just seriously say, because you did it in the way that you did it. I could sense that it wasn't authentic. Okay.
I don't know. I was struggling to find a Zach here. I wrote one down that so I gotta and I but I want to give a little bit of credit. You know, I wish there was timestamps on this note I have here. But Junior Bronco said the same one. If the Texans were a serious franchise and wanted to get rid of their demons, they would have worn Letterman jackets to this game before they won by 20 points.
No, that's messing with
the
Juju.
The Texans are cowards.
That's messing with
the Texans should have worn the Letterman jackets and rewritten history.
That's messing with the ancient spirits.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. It would have been like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Everyone's face would have melted. The ghost would have returned. You cannot anger the football gods like that. Now, we can officially wear the Letterman jackets again.
I don't think you can.
Oh, come on. Throwback Thursday. Why not?
I think this was the only opportunity to wear them. I guess the next time you go to Foxborough. But that feels like you're really risking history if you do it the next time. It should have been this time if they were going to do it. This is now or never.
DeMeco Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans, and after their victory over the New England Patriots, he delivered this speech.
Hey, man, hey, congrats to everybody, man. Really awesome job, right? Way to come up here, right, and do us, right? We played really well. We bought the energy. We did us well. Still, a lot to clean up, but I love the way you guys came out. Offense. 192 rushing yards? Way to run the rock, man. Way to run the rock. Beautiful to see. Defense. Four takeaways. Great job, defense. Way to hunt. And not only taking the ball away, but offense able to capitalize and score off of the takeaways. Outstanding job in special teams. We thought about being disruptive. You guys are disruptive all day, man. So great job. Special teams, offense, defense, all the way across the board. All right. For us, man, as an organization, right, we already know it's our first time with a win here. Mm-hmm. All right, first time with a win, so everybody get a game ball. Everybody. Game ball, everybody, man. Proud of everybody. Let's get this plane back to Houston. Let's go. Let's take some
ASAP. Unbelievable. Proud of everybody?
We're handing out participation trophy game balls.
Oh.
I mean, Dory Ogunbowale got a game ball. Akers, who had negative rushing yards, got a game ball.
Did they get one for this week?
He said everyone gets a game ball.
Oh, everyone gets a game ball.
So gotcha. Participation trophy?
I didn't even know Cam Akers played. To be perfectly
two carries,
honest.
Negative 1 yards.
Look, DeMeco, I thought you were all about ignoring the rat poison. And that is rat poison. You're actually allowing yourself to enjoy a victory? Come on. What is this? Especially in Foxborough, the place that set the standard for being miserable while winning, because that's the key to life, is being miserable through all the success until you eventually get old and have gray in your beard and just keel over and die. You're never supposed to be happy at any point in your life. And how dare DeMeco Ryans just feed all these players rat poison after a 20-point win over a team that, as some have said on the Twitch, would have lost to Oregon on Saturday.
Would they have lost to Ohio State, though?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Almost lost to Ohio State.
Yeah, but Ohio State's got a dumb quarterback out there.
Oh, yeah, he dacked.
So do the Patriots.
Hey. Yeah, he dacked the bleep out of that.
Yeah, that was tough.
What's that kid's name for Ohio State?
Will Howard.
Oh, man, they let Kyle McCord transfer, huh? Interesting.
All Saturday. I was just hearing it to my right. Mabe was sitting next to me. And he had money on the Syracuse game. He just kept saying it. And I was like, Paul's not here. You don't have to keep saying that Kyle McCord is better than Will Howe.
Kyle McCord is better than Will Howe.
He is. He actually is, though. That's what's crazy. Think about just a college football side tangent for a moment. Can we talk about how dumb both Ohio State and Oklahoma are for chasing off their starting quarterback from the year before? I mean, Oklahoma, holy crap. With Dylan Gabriel doing what he did against Ohio State, I was embarrassed to watch that Oklahoma offense. And I know that they were missing a lot of wide receivers, but they had zero chance against Texas all Saturday. And you knew it. And Texas played like crap. Quinn, you were stunk in that game. Oh, my God. They let Dylan Gabriel go for a guy that they benched for that.
They didn't even go back to the other guy. I thought they were going to at some point.
They should have, because it couldn't have gotten any worse.
Because maybe he would throw the ball more than like 8 yards at any moment.
A bunch of people were telling me, because I watched with a bunch of my Texas fan friends, and they were saying, if you go back to Jackson Arnold, trust us, it will be worse. He will throw a bunch of pick sixes or something like that. I was thinking to myself, it cannot be worse.
Well, like maybe he'd throw one touchdown in between two pick sixes, thus making it better.
Yeah, we're watching together, and like Charles, and you guys were taking like live lines and live overs and or live unders and
live lines
when Oklahoma had the ball and it's like, oh, if they score here, like then we're in trouble. I'm like, they're not going to score here. Like there's zero potential that they can play even against a prevent defense, like keep everything in front, like they're just not going to score.
Yeah.
And I think that Michael Hawkins is going to be a better NFL quarterback than Drake May, the team that the Texans played.
Wow.
Texans should be ashamed of themselves.
They should. They really should. Unbelievable.
Texas beat OU more than the Texans beat the Patriots.
That is true, but they should be embarrassed by that win, too. You know, the gold hat, unbelievable.
Quinn Ewers didn't throw for 200 yards.
You heard me say when in the post-game interview you put on the hat, I was like, I don't know if Quinn Ewers should put on the hat for the performance he put in.
Celebrating a win over your arch rival by 28 points, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Celebrating a win by 20 points over a once proud franchise, embarrassing. Honestly, there's so much celebration going on this weekend. And I was talking to my Texas fan friends, and they were like, if Sark doesn't win this game convincingly, he's on the hot seat. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if that's actually true, but I like the mentality here. They wanted to run up the score. Yeah. It was great. Why didn't the Texans run up the score? Unbelievable. They brought in Davis Mills into a game with 5 minutes left. Are you serious about winning if you're not willing to put in the effort to get style points, and then afterwards you're going to actually enjoy a victory in the NFL? Shameful and embarrassing, I think we should all be embarrassed by the 5-1 Houston Texans for the first time since 2012.
Yeah, why did the Texans pull their starters at the end?
Unbelievable!
The offense didn't have anything else to work on.
Valuable.
You think they had a perfect game?
We don't forget the second quarter. We don't forget about that. Unbelievable.
Had to fix their problems.
If you take out all the long runs, the Texans only averaged like less than 3 yards per carry.
Unbelievable.
Right. That's really negative.
I hope people notice that we're tongue-in-cheek, but my God, there's enough people that are operating like this. I don't really know what to tell you. I really don't.
I don't either. They're 5-1.
I'm impressed that they can zag, but and the +8-point differential, as one texter brings up, that is certainly something to keep an eye on as the season progresses. But you get a blowout victory, finally. That's going to even itself up because you had the blowout loss that you had to the Vikings. Sure, you've won a lot of one-score games, and there are things to be cleaned up. No one is denying any of that. But can we all agree that 5-1 is nice?
Yes. 5-1 is awesome. And the point differential was one of the things that we asked for.
Yeah.
We said, get it out of the red.
That was
one of our goals for this game this week. It was get it out of the red.
They got it out of the red.
And they achieved it.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
The Texans won't impress me until they have the best start in franchise history. Right now, they're only tied.
Right. So
5-1? Matt Schaub went 5-1.
Well, this is the problem. You're going to have to go, I think, 11-1? 10-1?
Yeah. Yeah. At least.
Because I think
Could they go back in time and be undefeated?
I don't
that
know.
That would impress me. If they invent time travel.
That would, honestly, even then, I'd be like, eh. I mean,
Mickey Mouse win against the Vikings.
You only have it ready, time travel in the middle of the season? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, what'd you do all offseason?
Yeah, come on, Nick Caserio.
Hey, get off the podcast, CJ Stroud.
Stop shopping for vests, Nick. Oh, Sean behind the glass, Joe George, I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want all show long your best zags against this Texans victory. Because I hope by now we realize that the nitpicking is getting a little silly, even if it is merited in some ways. Also, maybe we're reading too much into it, but something Alex Bregman did over the weekend has people feeling a lot of ways. You'll hear what it is next. Stay put.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The Texans are 5-1 for the first time since 2012 after a 41-21 win over the New England Patriots yesterday. It's their first win in 8 trips to Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'm happy about it. Certainly some things to clean up, and certainly New England is not very good. But I want to hear the people who are still miffed, annoyed, feeling meh about the Texans, your best zag against what they did yesterday, a 20-point victory. But before we get back into that, I did want to take a look at something that took place on Instagram yesterday. Did anyone see a post that a certain Astros third baseman made? Alex Bregman posted on Instagram, @abreg_1, a picture of himself shaking hands with Mauricio Dubon after, I believe, winning the American League West this year. You also have a picture of him and John Singleton and a picture of him and Jeremy Pena low-fiving. The caption reads this on this Instagram post: Astros fans, thank you for the support all year long. We came up short this year, but proud of the guys for the effort and the fight. Was that a goodbye by Alex Bregman to Astros fans on the gram?
He said this year. He didn't say over the last, 7 years.
He said, Astros fans, thank you for the support all year long. Mm-hmm. We came up short, as Joe said, this year, mm-hmm. but proud of the guys for the effort and the fight.
Didn't rule out next year.
He did not.
It does feel like a goodbye. Is this more of a goodbye or the day after they lost or the night they lost when he just said, thank you, Houston?
Thank you, Houston is more of a goodbye.
That felt like a goodbye.
I actually think that this is a baby step in the right direction. And I say that because he talks about the support all year long, not for the entirety of his run here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he says this year. So, door might have opened to just a little smidgen.
I think the door opened when Altuve opened his mouth.
I agree.
I don't think the door was that open, but as soon as Altuve started talking about Bregman the way he was at the end of the season, as they were getting eliminated from the playoffs, I think the door opened quite a bit, honestly.
Because quite a bit.
There are certain players in certain franchises that should have a massive say. And the Astros should have offered Alex Bregman a reasonable contract to keep him here anyways. It should be reassured that they're going to do that now that Jose Altuve is so outspoken about him. So I don't think it's a goodbye. I'm going to take the positive outlook on this one and say that this was not a goodbye to Houston.
Yeah, I actually think it's a baby step in the right direction towards the Astros potentially bringing him back. Whether they should or not a debate that I feel like we should have, because I don't think it's a debate. They should bring Alex Bregman back. I know that you have potential young players that could fill the void, but will they? Probably not. And if you want to keep being where you're at right now, losing a guy with the kind of baseball IQ that Bregman brings to the table, relentless work ethic that he brings to the table, I feel like that is going to be a big gut punch to a clubhouse that has lost a lot of different key figures over the years. And to what you were saying, Joe, the things that Jose Altuve said about Alex Bregman, I do think will resonate with Jim Crane.
I hope they do. I mean, and it just, if you don't bring Alex Bregman back, I don't know how you move forward without doing a slight teardown. I really don't. And I know people don't want to hear that and they don't want to do it, but you have to get a new first baseman, a new left fielder. You need a new third baseman. You're going to need a new, you know, ace-ish pitcher the following year because Fromber will be gone and Tucker will be gone. At some point, like, there's just too many guys to replace. Alex Bregman wants to be here. Jose Altuve wants Alex Bregman to be here. The fans want Alex Bregman to be here. Alex Bregman should be here. Like, I think it would be a huge mistake to let him go. And I don't think it's going to be an unreasonable contract. Like, when Alex Bregman, if he signs somewhere else, I think there will be a lot of anger because I think we will look at the contract and say, the Astros could have done that. The Astros should have done that if you go somewhere else.
Yeah, you're really feeling that deal that, who got?
Matt Chapman? Matt Chapman, 6 years, $151 million. So I guess it was really like, what, like 7 years, like 175 because he was signed last year and then added on to it. Something like that. If it's an under $200 million contract, Alex Bregman better be an Astro.
I'm with you there.
Like, that would be a real lack of faith in what's going on up there if he signs for a contract under $200 million somewhere else.
A deal for 6 years is perhaps a little bit tricky just because he is 30 and he's going to turn 31 right before the start of this coming season. But I feel like that Instagram post is a step in the right direction about a potential Alex Bregman return. The Texans are 5-1 after what they did to the New England Patriots in Foxborough yesterday. And the challenge that we have for today's show, because I'll just say it, I've been annoyed with a lot of the fan base because they've been turning their nose up about this start. Winning is more important than style points in the NFL. Racking these up and actually giving yourself a chance at getting the one seed in the AFC is all you can do, even if the schedule is very favorable for the Texans to open up, and especially the rest of this month, because the Packers really looking like the only tough game on the schedule, unless you are nervous about Joe Flacco and the now 3-3 Colts, or you feel like Aaron Rodgers and the head coachless New York Jets, I know they hired Jeff Ulbrich, will be a challenge. But I've been wanting to see if people still are keeping that same energy after they beat a team by 20 points yesterday, because certainly it's not a very good team that they beat by 20 points yesterday. So here are some Zags. They're not quite as Skip Bayless-y as I want, but I'll take them. Rocky comments, the O-line is still not good. Takes up 33% of the cap, and they suck. Mixon has good vision. Otherwise, the plays are A and B gap calls every play. Slowick offense just doesn't compare to any Shanahan offense. Meanwhile, Ben Johnson in Detroit reminds me a lot of the Kubiak offense. Bootlegs are amazing, zone blocking, etc. And I know King of All Twitches brought up that Jared Goff had a perfect passer rating against the Cowboys yesterday and has been looking pretty good the last couple of weeks where the Lions have scored 40 points in back-to-back games for the first time since, I think, the 1960s.
That's absurd. Laremy Tunsil came back in, right, yesterday?
I don't believe he did.
Okay, I couldn't remember. After he got hurt, I guess I just didn't think about it again.
Fisher was not bad, for what it's worth, but at the same time, how much attention was I paying to it? I'll be honest, not that much.
No, I mean, Fisher's played a lot the last 3 weeks, and he seems to be fine. We've all talked about this. Like, we're not going to sit here and pretend like we're offensive line experts, nor would I want to dedicate the time of my life to become one. But
Jeremy Branham's doing it online for you guys.
Can't do it. I just can't. I don't got enough time in my life to do all that.
Jeremy is a noted offensive line guru.
All right, not a quarterback guru, though, because Will Levis sucks.
No. You just got to give him time. A lot of season left.
Yeah.
And he needs more commercials, too.
Jeremy Branham also, here's a zag. C.J. Stroud has less fantasy football value than Caleb Williams. I got told that yesterday by Jeremy Branham. So That's Jeremy's take, that Caleb's a better fantasy
quarterback. Nice, bringing fantasy football into
just,
it.
Just saying. You know.
The kind of expertise that I want out of football talk in the afternoons. More comments here. You can join on Twitch or on YouTube. World of Warcraft Spartacus says, resigning Dalton Schultz was the worst move Nick Caserio has ever done. What an absolute joke of a tight end who can't catch or block. Plus, this secondary couldn't stop Oklahoma's receivers. Derek Stingley getting beat was bad. I'll be honest, this is probably a good thing. I don't even know who started for Kamari Lassiter yesterday because Lassiter was injured and was not able to play. He's probably going to be out for a couple of weeks. You didn't notice him. You did notice Derek Stingley, though.
Yeah, what do you think about that Schultz part of the take? Don't hate it.
Schultz had two bad drops, a ball hit him in the face, and I didn't feel like he tried as hard as he should have to come back to that ball that was intercepted in the end zone. You're a big guy, and you got to catch the ball at the high point. I understand your momentum might be carrying you into the end zone, but you have to go and get the ball. You can't just let it come to you. And when you're someone of Dalton Schultz's size, attacking the ball is going to result in a win for you just about every single time. He should have come back to the ball there. The Patriots defender did make a really good play on the ball to knock it away, but it was not a good game for Dalton Schultz. I think he only got half of the targets that were thrown his way. The drop that was really not good, I think it was in the third quarter. He has to be better. He has paid to be better, and if he's not going to be, then I hope Cade Stover continues to get opportunities, but that extension is not looking very good right now.
Yeah, it's definitely my least favorite move of the offseason right now. I'm fine with even not addressing the safety position if we're going to get like this kind of action from Kalen Bullock occasionally, just the turnover machine that this guy is. Dalton Schultz had a bad day yesterday. Of everything that happened in the game, it's the one that stood out like a sore thumb. He was just not good in this football game. And I don't think he's really made much of a positive impact this entire season for the Texans. Not that he's been this bad the whole year, but I just expected more. I thought there'd be times where defenses would be try to be really creative with how they would take away the wide receivers, and it would give Schultz a lot of opportunity.
Right. You would think he would have a lot of chances, and maybe that's partly C.J. Stroud not looking his way, but I think I would stop looking Dalton Schultz's way if he's dropping a couple of passes or he's not coming back on a throw that I threw into the end zone, And there's been a couple of times where Stroud has missed Schultz this year, to be fair. But if I'm nitpicking anything, and I'm doing it seriously, not sarcastically, Dalton Schultz is the guy I'm pointing at. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Texans are 5-1. But I want to hear your zag. And for those who don't know what a zag is, a take contrary to conventional opinion about this 5-1 team off to its best start since 2012. Up next, oh my God, I cannot get enough of how bad the Dallas Cowboys are. I cannot get enough. I'm not quite Stephen A. Smith walking around with a pants tent and a Cowboys hat after yesterday's 47-9 loss to the Lions, but I'm enjoying it. You'll hear from a very sad Jerry Jones on his 82nd birthday next, but first, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. The Texans covered! They did it! The spread, I believe, on Friday was 7. I don't know if it changed over the course of the weekend, but the Texans finally covered a game. And not only did they cover, they won by 20 points. So maybe you're feeling really good. But the next time the Houston Texans play a game, you're going to actually bet on them. Maybe you want to bet on baseball's playoffs. I know what Fox is betting on is what the World Series matchup will be with all the promos they're doing featuring the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. You can bet on the presidential election. Have the odds changed since last week? Oh, wow. The odds in favor of Donald Trump continue to grow. Minus 145 to Kamala Harris at plus 115. You can also bet on Monday Night Football tonight. The Bills are 1.5-point favorites against the Jets. What am I missing? The Jets just fired their coach. That seems weird. You want to bet on that? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They will double your first deposit right away, and you can play with it, bet on whatever you want. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
made the air, time, and intercepted. It's picked off on the play by Bullock, Kalen Bullock. A second interception for this young player, a rookie out of SC, and finally brought down by May.
I'll admit it, the Patriots fan in me, when I saw that, I thought to myself, oh God, we just drafted a complete Bobo.
I'm sure you did.
Because his first throw, Drake May, was, I think, 9 yards out of bounds. His second throw was completed, and it felt like a very sarcastic cheer happened at Gillette Stadium for that first throw. And then after that, he throws an interception. And, oh, man, it was nowhere close to his wide receiver.
I think if Sean said this weekend, he should not have worn the number 10.
I totally agree. I saw a couple of people wearing number 10 Patriots jerseys at BLVD on 19th Street, which is right next to Drift, where we were on Friday, on Saturday. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, is that guy wearing a Mac Jones jersey? Not ironically. And then I saw, oh, no, that's a Drake May jersey.
Yeah, he's got to change his number. That was a bad, like, marketing ploy for the team.
I don't know. Honestly, that was a good start. I think whatever he's doing is working. I am not going to go so far as to say that I feel like he's going to be the guy there, but that was a nice, promising thing for a god-awful Patriots team with a head coach that does not seem to have that team very disciplined, and on top of that, looks schleppy. I don't like how schleppy he looks. Bill Belichick can make that his brand. Jerod Mayo, you played in the NFL more recently than D'Amico Ryans. You should not look significantly less in shape than D'Amico Ryans.
Are you doing the Alabama thing with Kalen DeBoer right now?
What?
The Alabama fans who think Kalen DeBoer should wear a shirt with a collar on
it? No, I'm saying Jerod Mayo should, I don't know.
No, but this is the same thing.
Fair enough.
This is the same theory. Then Bill Belichick can get away with it because he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Well, if you win, you can look how, whatever you want. Like, whatever you want to do, you can.
I just think it's funny that we just last week we were talking about we're reading the column about the
as I said, it was a great column. And he's changed my way of looking.
You
at
agree?
The world.
Yeah.
He's changed my way of looking. Speaking of looking, the Dallas Cowboys look like absolute doo doo. Holy smokes! They got killed 47-9 by the Detroit Lions. It is the worst loss at home for the Cowboys since 1988. Time for a special edition on Monday of Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
That was Jerry Jones' 82nd birthday present.
Oh, happy birthday, Jerry.
Oh, man. He's not sounding good. He talked about how embarrassed he was by this loss. And there are times where I wonder just how embarrassed he is. But here's Jerry talking about that L.
38 points, that's the worst home loss in your 35 years as owner. What is the feeling of embarrassment towards your fans?
Well, I regret that for our fans, regret it for everybody that is a part of the Dallas Cowboys or have been a part of the Cowboys. And it puts a lot of resolve. But the key thing to think about right here is we're 6 games into this thing. We're 3-3. We've had times when we haven't liked where we were when we were in the early part of the season. We don't like where we are right now. There's a lot of work to do. Got a lot of improvement before we'll sit here with any smiles on our face.
How do you and how will you take ownership?
Well, let me say this. I have ownership, so there's no taking it. I got it.
Duh.
Well, at least you got a victory at the end. That was the only Cowboys win of the day. Jerry Jones confirming. Still the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, he's good. He's going to make, his kids are going to make $20 billion when they sell it eventually.
Probably.
But you know, he's got his ownership.
Hopefully they won't have to pay too much in inheritance tax because that might be going to another family afterwards. So they're not considering a coaching change, but Bill Belichick rumors are back. Again, they're 3-3. It's not like the season's over. They have won every single one of their games on the road.
They're 3-3, but a 47-9 loss is really bad.
You don't get the sense that the Cowboys are going to be doing anything in the playoffs if they make it. Certainly still open, though, because the Eagles aren't impressing anybody either. Honestly, this might have been a more embarrassing Sunday for the Eagles in a win than it was for the Cowboys in a loss to one of the best teams in the league. It's just the Cowboys, and they lost to the Lions. So we're all making fun a lot more than we would for, say, the Bills getting smoked by the Baltimore Ravens in Sunday Night Football. Dak Prescott in the loss, 17 of 33. For 178 yards, zero touchdowns, and two interceptions. He was getting a little salty with the media during the post-game press conference because apparently they have found out that he demolished his mansion, and he doesn't like people talking about the mansion. It feels like it's private. He is definitely going to be in Soft Boys later in the week due to that. Also, in week six, Will Levis and Dak Prescott tied Bryce Young as the fourth worst off-target throw rate in a game per fantasy points data. The only guys worse, Anthony Richardson, Bo Nix, and Josh Allen. That was against the Texans.
I mean, Dak, like, that's what's so bad about all this. You can get rid of Mike McCarthy if you want. You can get rid of Mike Zimmer. But Dak to play this poor after just getting paid? I don't know how the Cowboys fix a lot of their problems. They chose not to bring in Derrick Henry, who was the first running back, I think it's ever, to have six touchdowns in his first six games with a new team. They could have signed him. Instead, they're running out, what, Rico Dowdle or whatever his name is? Ezekiel Elliott? Like, they look terrible.
I got the idea. Where's Cooper Rush? What's he doing?
He threw a pick.
Cooper Rush was in this game? He's still in the Cowboys. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, where's Ben DiNucci? Where's Ben DiNucci?
I think XFL.
Yeah.
I, like, roughly remember him.
Ben DiNucci.
Being on, or maybe CFL.
Find some random white practice squad quarterback to start a race war in the Cowboys fan base, and that'll drive ratings back to the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. The Cowboys have given up 167 points in their past four home games. It's the third most for a home team in NFL history. They've lost those games by a combined 82 points. Going all the way back to their loss against the Green Bay Packers in last year's playoffs.
Yeah, the Packers game is like, it should have, they should have fired their coach then. Like, everyone knew it, and they didn't do it. And then for this to happen, I'm really astonished that Mike McCarthy has a job today.
Astonished.
Like, they must be best friends.
They're definitely not best friends.
Like, why else are you employing him? Like, you want to give it to Mike Zimmer? He can go too.
Well, as long as you got a coaching potential firing in the works, you know what happens? People are talking about you. All publicity, good publicity.
They're going to lead First Take all week.
All week.
All week.
And they're on a bye week, so probably a couple days next week, too.
I think my favorite part about last night's game is now that, you know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith are not together anymore, though it's like seeing like their videos that drop almost at the exact same time. The sad Cowboys fan and Skip Bayless versus the gleeful Cowboys hater and Stephen A. Smith. It's become like must see social media. Skip Bayless is very sad.
I think we'll play Skip Bayless later in the week because there's so much. This is something that's going to be fun for the next couple of days because I do realize beating the Patriots is not the biggest deal in the world. It was a convincing win, though. You should be happy about that. What's worst? Who would you least like to get piled on by if you're the Dallas Cowboys today? Dez Bryant, Jason Garrett, noted Cowboys stooge Ed Werder, or from the top ropes, former Fox 26 reporter and Houston media legend Mark Berman, who dropped this nuke on the wreckage of a fiery Cowboys L. Texans won by 20, Cowboys lost by 38. Happy birthday, Jerry, with a video showing Jerry Jones looking up at the scoreboard at Jerry World in his owner's box.
I think the worst one's Jason Garrett.
For sure.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. If I'm a Cowboys fan and I'm watching Sunday Night Football and it's like Jason Garrett comes up on the screen and he's talking about toughness.
Smirking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can tell he's kind of enjoying it.
For sure.
Jason Garrett's the one where I'm like, okay, you can't say anything. Like, the whole situation, say what you want. This, there would be nothing different if Jason Garrett was the head coach instead of Mike McCarthy. It's actually remarkable how they probably had the least consequential coaching change in NFL history, where they actually fire a guy who had been there for over a decade, bring in a new Super Bowl winning head coach, nothing changes. Like you could have told me, like, you could just swap him out. Nothing, every week, nothing would happen. It would be the exact same Cowboys product you're getting on the field.
I want Belichick to go there. I really do.
You do?
Yeah, I want him to go there. I'd enjoy Belichick with the Cowboys. That would be fun.
Yeah, someone dropped this weekend that apparently he's friendly with the Jones family, which I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you heard this last year, Joe, but leading up to a Patriots-Cowboys game, I mean, Belichick was glazing Jones, essentially, in press conference four.
Okay.
He was doing
that.
His like history, like one of his little history riffs where he goes for 2 minutes talking about the Cowboys. Pretty sure he mentioned Roger Staubach like 8 times, too.
Wasn't there like a Manning cast where he was big on the Cowboys,
probably,
too? Where he was like, oh, no, yeah. He was like, the problem isn't the talent or something. He said something like that where he's like, they have plenty of good players.
They will pay him a ton of money to do that job. One last ride. He can bring his little boo thing to Dallas. Mm-hmm. She can wear her cowboy boots. It'll be fun. Speaking of the birds, did anyone see that puking Cowboys girl, hands and knees, puking on the concrete at Jerry World as Lions fans skip by her doing the gritty? I'm about to retweet it. At Gallant says, at Joe George Radio, at Shawnee Babes, my God, it is art.
Down Dang. Bad.
I would buy an NFT of that.
I'm still not convinced she wasn't puking up glitter, as I said.
It looked like
night.
Glitter, Joe.
It looks like there's glitter.
It's like shining.
She's either like sweating the glitter off of herself, or she puking up glitter.
Do you think it was Goldschlager? Like in like in Superbad? For those who haven't seen that movie, there's this vodka with golden flakes in it, and Michael Cera's character is trying to get it for his wannabe boo thing in this movie, and she gets it, and then she just yaks it all over him. Glittery puke. So there you go, guys. The Dallas Cowboys, 3-3, but the sky is falling up there, and it's fun to look at it from afar. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. To my right, we got Sean Mapes behind the glass. It is Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am looking for your best, most Skip Bayless, anti-Texans take about a team that's 5-1 after a 20-point victory yesterday. And have they fixed all of their problems? We'll discuss some of them because it looked like they have. Stick around. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let's talk about O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, oathletic.com. And you can find them oathletic on Instagram. You go to the website, oathletic.com. You can see the 100 classes that they offer out throughout the week. You want to do weightlifting training, agility training. You just want to focus on losing weight. There's a variety of classes that you can sign up for to do that at O Athletic. You also have the recovery there. You have the sauna, the steam room, you know, the endless pool that you can use. They offer yoga classes, bunch of different things you can do. It's the gym for me. It should be for the gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com. Sign up for a personal trainer while you're there. I recommend Cam. He's the absolute best. He'll work with you on your diet and your workouts when you're not with him. That's one of my favorite parts as well. They set you up for success when you're not with the personal trainer. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, and oathletic on Instagram.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.